This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like I'm staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready. 1-3. Let's get it. Hey, let's have some fun.
Hey.
My laid back bars hit harder than Ike Turner. Killing these beats, they calling it Mike Murder. Living out the box, showing the way I might turn up. Cameos round the globe like a dude that wrote word up. No trending topic, just hashing out in Europe. Keep the heads nodding, they calling the flow syrup. Verses weighing tons, so some couldn't pick a word up. Plan for y'all to understand.
And that's the word up, you get heard up like slime. Have your chick hanging off my words like phonics. I might vomit. Overdosing off these cartoon niggas. You and your man are real Wallace and Gromit. Put you on the news, the subject, the correspondence. Cook that ass up and leave you folded cheese omelet. The watch on my wrist, show your girl what time it is. Check the game or you can get the fuck out of here.
Out here, so these niggas can't see me. It flows off the wall like it's graffiti in 3D.
Graffiti in 3D. That's still one of my favorite bars. I think one of the things I regret the most is I think the next line I say, I got him so shook. I say grafting peace treaties. Cause I remember recording it in the moment and I couldn't think of the next word. And like grafting was the closest I had gotten. And every time I hear it, it's like, I knew it was supposed to be drafting and I said grafting and it pisses me off, but it's still a dope track. Sets the mood for the episode today.
Yeah. That's just like when Kanye is like a fruit bruise.
We're not even going to get started on Kanye. But welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me, listen to my random ramblings and whatever it is that I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Like I said, that track sets the mood for what we're going to do on this episode today. This is another in my series of the plugs I met. Got a very, very special guest on. Before I get to that, let me go through the Sheffy Lease report real quick.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. Not a whole lot to report on that avenue of my life this week. I think I got her progress report, and she's meeting expectations, whatever. I don't know. Like these, I can't even read these things that they send anymore, but I'm guessing thumbs up, all clear. I will say this. Sheffy Lease crashed my live stream this weekend. So she had her live stream debut. She just decided to crash a show I was doing. I just want to shout out CL from the Pussy Talks podcast. We was doing a show on addiction and mental health. So yeah, if you could, you know, check out YouTube, find Pussy Talks. It's P-U-S-S-C-E-E Talks. And we did a dope conversation on addiction and mental health. And toward the end of it, you know, despite my best laid plans, like Sheffy Lease says, she couldn't take, you know, not being in the room with me. So she had to be up here. And shout out to CL for like cleaning it up for the last like 5 minutes of the conversation. Everybody was very accommodating of my little girl because they knew she was within earshot. So I appreciate y'all. Y'all go check out that episode. It's very dope. But yeah, Sheffy Lease crashes the show. So if you want to see her on her worst behavior, go check it out. But that's pretty much all I got for the Sheffy Lease report this week.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. I'm really excited to get into what we got next. So again, this is one of the Plugs I Met series. And today I have a very, very, very special guest. One of the voices that you hear on the intro. That's this man here. The CEO of Respect the Game Multimedia. The record label I used to record under, an award-winning filmmaker, a rapper, producer, actor, DJ, everything in between, but most importantly, an all-around good dude and my brother. I got Reginald 13 Gree in the building with me today. How's it going, brother?
Oh man, I feel great, man. I feel exuberant. I feel honored to be here to share this time with my brother. It's not often these days that we get to sit down and rap, but every time we get a chance, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, man. I even hate like making the distinction, but I think it's important for people to know like this is my brother, but you know, we not blood related, which like I hate even saying that, but I just say it to say like this man does not have a genetic obligation, you know, to fuck with me the way that he does. But we have been brothers like since the day we met back in the Pentagon, working for the Air Force Pentagon Communication Agency. This has been my brother. I've even used his ID to get in places. Like that's how much brothers we are. They obviously didn't look at the height or anything like that, height or weight on the ID. But I got through with that joint. But this is my man. Like I listed all of those things, and I know I probably didn't even list like a third of the things that you actually do. From the day I met you, man, you've been a man of many talents. I wanted to start off by asking you, like, where did that come from? Where did just that the awareness that you could just do whatever the fuck you wanted to do whenever you felt like doing it?
I mean, that whatever the fuck I wanted to do-ness, I believe is a family tree. I come from both sides of my family, my dad's family and my mom's family. Both are people that had multiple talents. Going back in history, like on my mom's side, there was a town, Donesville, in Eastern Shore, Maryland, and that is actually Princess Anne now. Actually, my family's land is where University of Maryland Eastern Shore sits on.
Okay.
So they had cattle, they had cattle rustlers. We had a lady in our family named Mom Inc. that printed money. we had Negro League baseball players. We had welders, police, helicopter pilots, some of the best and some of the most valiant and some of the most gangster motherfuckers ever. You know what I mean? And I think that, and same thing on my dad's side, my grandfather, my great grandfather owned barbershops, and my grandfather was in World War II. It's just, you know, I don't know if it was my grandfather or my great grandfather. One of them niggas was in World War II. So, saying that is to say that when you see that your family is able to fill so many roles in life, it's like, oh shit, I really can do whatever I want to do. And then that's one side of it, seeing the examples. And then my mom and my dad were both the hubs of both of their respective sides of my family. And then just that attitude, like, you're not going to tell me what to do. If you tell me what I can't do, it's going to make me want to do it even more.
Yeah. That's Sagittarius. That's that part of us they don't understand. But yeah, man, that I tell people all the time, like if anybody sees like the things that I'm doing now, as far as this podcast and like just the stuff that I'm trying, doing the designing the t-shirts and just everything, like it really came from, it really, you know, all started with, you know, me meeting this dude, like, you know, not to take anything away from, you know, my mom and my upbringing and everything. It took kind of like being around. I had the luxury of being around somebody that was just, that had no boundaries. It just, you know, woke up and was like, man, what we doing today? You know, same thing we do every day, Pinky, trying to take over the world. Like just you know, when I met him, he owned his own record label. I was a dude that, you know, was probably writing rhymes for myself, you know, at home. And then it turned into like performing on the National Monument, you know, and it's, you know, just shit that in my mind didn't seem possible, but I had the luxury of being around a person who didn't think in them terms of possible and impossible. And so the things I'm doing today, I want you to know that like the things I'm doing today are a direct reflection of that time I got to spend, you know, with a front row seat to somebody just doing whatever it is that they dreamed up that day. And I appreciate you, brother. And I think, you know, I think it's something I wish more people got a chance to see so they could know to just like, and the only thing separating you from the people doing what you want to do is they doing it. So just go take a step.
I mean, you know what? What I've been realizing lately is, you know, less is more, bro. Everybody ain't supposed to, you know, and you've seen it, how many motherfuckers we tried to take with us on a journey, and they had the gumption, they had a chutzpah, they had the salt to motherfucking hang with what we was doing, you know what I mean? And it wasn't that we were doing anything that was extraordinary. It was just that we had a goal and a mission, and we were saying, yeah, let's do that. We want to do this. Why can't we do that? What does it take to do that? And we just did it. And, you know, and then it's like, okay, I might have initiated, but it's like I bounced that off of people like you who are receptive to it. And that, you know, that gave me what I needed to, it's like you bouncing the energy, and the energy builds as it bounces.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's not for everybody.
It's definitely important to build your circle and have people around you that you can bounce them ideas off of, and not have people just telling you why it won't work. But, you know, because half the time I had no idea how I was going to work. But I'm like, well, Red said we could do it. So fuck, what you need me to do, homie? Like, just let me know what role I play. I go.
Yeah.
Another one of the, you know, the things I remember, you know, fondly about them days in the studio and the work that we put in was the toast. Now, I don't toast anymore. I probably could, you know, I can still toast some sparkling cider or some shit like that. Well, you know, I don't toast anymore, but we used to do the toast, you know, whenever we, you know, was in the studio to celebrate something, you know, God, family, peace, and prosperity. And and it's dope that
don't
the things.
Don't forget the last one. What? Don't forget the last one.
What's that?
Respect.
Respect the game. Got to.
Yes, sir.
But,
yeah.
But it was in that order. And I think that's very representative of like the way you live. God first, and then, you know, directly behind that is family. Can you speak on, like, you know, who instilled that in you, or where did that come from?
That came from me, bro. I ain't even gonna hold you. Both sides of my family got them, that bullshit with them. You know what I'm saying? Like them uncles whose egos is always some rift. And I think, like, you know, they say, and like from a psychological standpoint, they say when you've been affected by something, you either perpetuate it or you become the exact opposite of it.
Yeah.
And I think because I saw so much fuckery within my family, it's like, all right, if it's a circle that I have control over, I'm going to hold on to my folks. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to show them that I love them and not be afraid of it and not let anything petty get in the way of that. And I think that the reason why I hold family and those close to me so dearly is because I knew what it felt like when the holidays came around and I just wanted to see all my family, but this uncle not talking to this uncle, this aunt on some bullshit. I can't invite this cousin over because this nigga done stole my clothes before. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you got people that you're willing to risk pouring into, and they're receptive of that, and they give you pure love and adorational respect back, then you hold on to that. You take care of that, regardless of the pettiness. Like, some shit is just petty. Like, you know, it's been so many times, like, you know the stories. There's been so many times where, like, even between you and I, situations where you might have been like, damn, this nigga, now you gonna be my friend no more. This might have ruined our relationship. And it's like, nah, because I already know, like, it's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. And it never, like, you know when it's straight up disrespect. And you know when it's like, all right, this is a bigger situation. There's more to this than this exact moment, this exact incident. So, you know, my thing is, and you know what? I will give my mother credit, and my father credit, because my dad always looked out and my mom always looked out. Like she was always the middleman and shit. And she always used to tell me, because my mom's family's from the Eastern Shore, so they from the country. And when she was a child, they lived in the projects in the country, and they had a stove. They had a wood stove for their heat. And my grandmother always used to tell her, like, if we don't have nothing else, we got each other.
Yeah,
you know. And that stuck with my mom. Unfortunately, it didn't hit as hard for my uncles, because my mom has four brothers. So, you know, but that, like, seeing how she moved in between all they bullshit and just how she was always the glue, like, all of my uncles lived with us at some point in time. So it's like, y'all niggas talk all that shit and do all that shit, but you know who's the person that's going to back you every time. Yeah. And I always saw the regality in that, in being the stand up person and not falling for the egotistical stuff. Right. So that's what all of those things made me feel like, you know, my circle is important. These are the people that I'm choosing to be around me. So I gotta love them and make them know that they're loved and let them love on me as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those things, because yeah, I think that's important for people to hear. Like, I know I definitely went through that, especially in terms of, you know, not seeing something and, you know, having that choice between whether or not you're going to perpetuate the trauma, if you're going to continue it, or whether you're going to go in the opposite direction. You know, I was deathly afraid of, you know, of having kids, you know, because my dad wasn't around, and I was like, man, what kind of, you know, I don't know how to be a father. What kind of father am I going to be? And I think somebody, you know, eventually said to me, you know, you may not know what to do, but you have a perfect example of what not to do. And if you can just avoid those things,
right,
you know, you can do something great. So, yeah, you know, make it, you know, just because things haven't gone the way they needed to for you, or because you didn't see, you know, the appropriate things in your upbringing, you know, it doesn't mean you can't reverse that trend. You know exactly what not to do, what to avoid, you know, what you wanted, and you can be that for other people. But like you said, yeah, there was definitely a lot of moments where I'm like, oh man, this is it. This is the one. I could tell you one. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I remember like when we had the conversation about me like not rapping no more. And I'm like, man, I don't have it. You know, I don't have a passion for it. I see the work ethic that people have that's making it, and I just don't have it. And I was walking away from it, and that was like that. We had a little falling out real quick. I'll admit that like part of it was because it was a woman in the room when I was on the phone with you. And I think I had to, like, I felt like I had to, you know what I'm saying? I had to portray a certain level of manliness during that conversation. But it might've been like a week later, and I was out at the Boulevard, and I saw you over there near the Cold Stone or whatever it was. And I seen you from a distance, and I was like, oh shit, like, I don't know how this is about to go. I don't know if I should run. I don't know, like, I don't know what I should do in this moment. And like, yeah, we caught each other's glance, and I walked up to you, and it was just a pound and a hug. Like it was like, you know, it is what it is. I understand your decision. You know, I ain't happy with it, but you my brother, and that's not gonna change. So every time we ran into one of those, I'd be like, man, oh, this is the one. I don't know what's gonna happen next. Do I gotta move out the city? I think at one point, I don't know if I ever told you this one, but at one point, like, I was so sure that y'all wasn't fucking with me no more. In my mind, I was like, man, they're going to drop a diss record. I got to be prepared for the diss record. I got to have a response ready in the tuck. Like, I was trying to figure out what the next move was going to be. And before any of that could happen, I got the phone call like, man, when you coming to the studio? I was like, oh, shit, I'm still allowed in that month? Okay. Like, let's do that. But talk to me about that a little bit. I used to tell people, you know, in terms of you, I'm like, man, Reg got the drive. I know he going to be successful no matter what and whatever he chooses to do. Just for some reason, he has decided he going to drag me along kicking and screaming. Like, he don't care if I want to go, he going to take me, going to make sure I get there too. Like, where does that come from? Like, not just wanting to be successful, but wanting to do it in a way that other people, you know, can grow and benefit and reap the benefits from as well. Like, where do you get that from? What's that mentality from?
Man, I think the poet laureate Calvin Broad has said it best. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. You know, nobody, right. Like, what's real success if you don't? First of all, although I had brothers and sisters, I grew up primarily as an only child. And although I wasn't one of those only children that felt like lonely, I never minded being alone, but I always enjoyed the company of other people. So like when I made real friends or I had real people in my circle, man, it's like, shit, I want to have fun with y'all. I don't want to be doing this. I don't see it for me to be like, oh, this is my ball. Y'all can watch me play with my ball. Y'all can stand around and watch me play. Nah, I want to have fun. I want to have a good time, you know. And because I was the only child, a lot of time I was the guest star in somebody else's family or in somebody else's circle because, you know, I ain't gonna say hauled off, but I get, you know, invited over to my cousin's house and it's like a gang of them and I'm the extra man, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or like my dad had friends that had kids or my mom had friends that had kids, you know, they might have brothers and sisters or, you know, we might just be going to their family function and I'm the new kid. I'm the star for that episode. So it's like, I know what it feels like to want to be around people and not have it. And then I know what it feels like, you know, to have the opportunity to have people around. You just want to make the best of it. Like, I feel like if I pour into everybody around me, they're going to pour into me. So it's like, it's kind of like the golden rule, you know, treat others how you want to be treated. It's also just like, man, like when you peel away the layers of how we as Black men have to be hardened to survive just the calamity of society, the way it's been built up around us. Like, I remember being a child just loving love and just seeing the beauty in life. And, you know, a lot of times we forget about that or it's perpetuated that that's soft to not be able to, you know, to not be able to let your guard down. I ain't got to carry around the shotgun or all the guns. I ain't got to be hardcore. I ain't got to be a thug. I don't have to be a gangster. I'm a man and men do what men got to do. So it don't, you know, I don't have to be labeled as such. You know, and I don't have anything to prove to anybody. So, like, for me, I want the people that I care about around me to thrive. Like, that's, to me, that's what living means, is to live is to thrive. You know what I mean? And if you're living with me in proximity to me, I want you to live and thrive too. And plus, I feel like I have a great sense of discernment. Like, you know, since I'm talking to my brother, I'm gonna speak on my brother. I always seen something great and incredible and different and unique in you. And I feel like it's something that the world needs to see. Like, I feel like it's, you know, your walk in life is different from what everybody else is trying to portray. Like, even when we were rapping, you know, I say, nah, nigga, don't do you. Yeah. Do you. Fuck what everybody else talking about. Do you. And that, you know, it's been like that since day one. So I just really feel like, you know, if you see something good in people, man, nurture that. Damn. It's just that simple. It ain't gotta be a thing you do for kudos or because you think you're gonna get something out of it. I just really like I said, speaking on you, your relationship, you and our relationship. I saw something great and I was like, nah, this, I fuck with this dude and this my man's and this, and later on, this my brother, you know, and that's that, period. And I'm gonna nurture that because I chose to. And what I saw, no matter what we go through as individuals or collectively, that hasn't changed for me.
No, man, I 100% appreciate that. It means a lot to me. And just to tell y'all just like how serious he was about like trying to make convince me to be me, regardless of what else was out there. I remember coming in there. I had written this song. I was very excited about this song. And we was in the studio. We worked on the beat together. We had the beat. And I started recording it. And I'm recording it. Like, I didn't work on this song for a minute. I done wrapped it in my head, in the mirror, all that shit at home. Like, I'm ready to go. We in the joint. I'm recording the song. And, like, I don't know, 6-7 bars in. Nigga just hits the, stops the beat. Bah. Nigga, get that Drake out your motherfucking voice. It's like, nah, nigga, you're not about to sit up in here and do an impression of somebody else. Nigga, you got to do you. Be flan. Get that motherfucking Drake out your voice. Like, God damn. Record skipped and everything. Nigga.
Hey, fuck it. That's another part about being a real person is just, man, don't let your folks play themselves. You gonna cheer them on when you see them moving in a fucked up direction. That shit wasn't you. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I appreciate it. And it's what's the serendipitous that we doing this episode today, because today officially marks 4 years of sobriety for me. And like I said, like, and you have played, I appreciate that, man. You've played a major role in that in ways that you probably don't know. And like I told you before we came on here, like I was, you know, this is about like giving you your flowers. I want to, you know, shine the light on people, on the dope people that I know that I've had the honor to be able to be around and show people that there's a benefit to operating the right way and taking care of people. I just want to tell you, like, you're a person that taught me that I was not just somebody that was capable of showing love and respect and appreciation to other people. Like, you know, you made it a point to make me see that I was worthy of, you know, respect and admiration myself, and that I should have some swag and I should have some confidence about me because, you know, I had something to offer the world. So like I was saying earlier, like everything people see me doing now, and you know, the ability to be transparent or just to be doing this at all, you know, stems from a lot of them conversations and a lot of them cutting records off on me and, you know, a lot of that stuff. Like just making sure I understood that, you know, I was valuable and that, you know, my value didn't come from my ability to be a sidekick or my ability to be humble and treat people well. Like I deserved those same things at the same time, and that, you know, and I was somebody that people could look at. And so, man, I want to thank you because, you know, it's been a hell of a 4 years, but it's taken, you know, understanding that, you know, I was worth something to kind of push through it. And, you know, a lot of that came from them days, man, back in the presidential, in the back cave, you know, not just the music we was making, but just the relationships, the friendships, the camaraderie, the brotherhood, all of that, man. Like, I appreciate you, bro. I love you.
Man, I love you more, bro. Seriously, like, I mean, hey, listen, like I already said it. I just, you know, you a good dude. Like my spirit of discernment always been strong. So, you know, it's been a lot of, I feel like I've done a lot of things that people might say is like, you know, over the top, but it didn't feel over the top. It just felt like me looking out for my brother. You know what I'm saying? And just pouring back into the people that I care about, to the person I care about. So, and I'm thankful that you've made it this far in your sobriety, because it was a lot of times, bro, I was fucked up. Our brotherhood ain't never been nothing I took lightly. So the thought of you not being around, y'all like fuck with me, you know, and there was a lot of times I was like, I ain't know what was about to go on. I ain't know what that next phone call was going to be. So, you know, it shook me to my core that somebody that I fucking love, like my bro, like this my brother, to the point people, you know you tight and you brothers when people just, if you say you brothers, people don't even question the shit. So right. It's like, you know, that's all it was, man. I'm thankful that you saw your value, because I can tell you all day, anybody can tell you all day what they believe you are, but at the end of the day, I believe that in all aspects of life, and especially in sobriety, you have to see your own value in order to progress through the steps that it takes to break the addiction and to move into a safe place, knowing that you don't need outside influence on your physical or mental or emotional self to be good in this world.
Yeah.
So, man, I thank you for seeing yourself, and I'm glad that I was able to give you something to build off of, or to add on to your reasons why you want to preserve yourself and let this world continue to see your greatness.
No, man, I definitely appreciate it. I did want to, because I want people to see, like, the benefit of, like I said, operating this way, operating with people's best interests in mind. I know, you know, you've had a lot of amazing opportunities come up, you know, even recently. I wanted to see if you had an example maybe you could share with folks of just the fact that people know that you operate the right way, that you you're not a me first. You sort of like, let me do it the right way, and I know the good things will come out of that. Like, are you having any examples of where that has led to something or an opportunity opening up for you?
Bro, it happens every day. There's always something, like, I mean, some of the contracts that I've won, because not only do I do the film, I do the IT, I DJ. Like, for instance, I've been working in the film industry for 10 years, and I've never had to apply for a job. 10 years, and not once have I ever had to go looking for it. It's always come to me. I've never advertised my DJ services. I've been DJing since the 90s, and I've never had to put up any campaign or marketing paraphernalia. It's always been word of mouth. When I do locations in film, I'm a locations manager primarily in the film industry. Sometimes there's been times when I've had people decide they weren't going to allow us to film in their homes at the last minute because they thought they was going to strong arm a nigga for more money. And it's been like last minute, they ain't want to sign the contract. We got to film the next day. And because people believe in who I am and that I'm a good person, I'm a shoot you straight, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to take care of your home. Like, I've had people offer me to use their homes like less than 24 hours before we about to bring a whole film crew.
Yeah.
You know, just off the strength, not even asking for no money. Of course I'm gonna pay them, but you know, shout out to Kenny Bynum for that. Cause yeah, bro, Kenny Bynum, you looked out, bro. I appreciate you. But those are some of the examples, just like things that I'm the type of person, I don't really ask for much. And I don't know why. I'm just the type of person, I don't ask for a lot of things. I go and try to figure it out on my own. But there have been times when I've had to lean on people. And, you know, shit, it's just, they just look out because of my energy. Shit, there's been times like, you don't know this, I'm going to share some stuff with you that you don't know, man. There's been times when I was going through some shit and I just ain't want to be by myself. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it ain't about no money. It ain't about what you can do for a person. It's not about, you know, it's just, I don't want to have to guess, do this motherfucker really have my best interest in mind, or do they love me or care about me being good? And sometimes you just want people around you that are that are of that caliber. So I thank you for that, because you don't know how many times, man, it felt good to just know I had somebody that's down to ride.
Yeah.
When there's so many fake ass people in the world, so many people that do you dirty, so many people that's only around you for what they can get out of the situation. And I never felt like that with between you and I, you know. So it for me, I feel like God blessed me with so much in my life that I just want people to be themselves and be genuine around me. That's the big win for me.
Yeah. Well, you definitely give off that energy, and you make it easy for people to be themselves around you. And it makes it a comfortable space, because you know that's not an opportunity everybody gets these days, to just be able to take the mask off and just be themselves around people they know they could trust. So, you know, just so you know, that's a big thing. That's a blessing for a lot of people. You've been a blessing for a lot of people. But I don't want to do the kumbaya too much. I know you and I can just have fun talking about whatever. So I got a couple of just questions out the box. I'm going to see where it goes. Sure. I know what we do. Let's see. If you could have front row seats to any concert, I feel like I know the answer to this one, but if you could have front row seats to any concert, who would you like to see?
Any concert?
Any concert.
Any concert.
Hey.
Do they have to be alive?
Let's say nah, they don't have to be alive. They don't have to be alive. Let's go. No boundaries.
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley. Oh, shit.
Bob Marley. Michael Jackson. Prince. Those are my top three. If I had to say, matter of fact, this is so cool because I could go through genres. If it's rock and roll, I would want my front row to be Freddie Mercury with Queen. If it was today's hip hop, Andre 3000.
Yeah.
Sade. Shit, lately I've been rocking a lot of Rick James. I think I want to be front row with Rick.
Rick James? Yeah, that's gotta be an experience.
Man, but I'm trying to tell you, like, being a child when Rick James was alive and doing when he was like thriving out here, we ain't know about addiction and we ain't know about like growing up in the ghetto and like, you know, I mean, you knew about it, but you didn't know like the psychological effect. And then just understanding that this man was writing his own music, playing his own. He was on some Prince shit.
Yeah.
Like you writing, arranging, playing the instruments. You got other bands. You got the Mary Jane Girls. You got your band. You got the Temptations singing backup for you. You done talk Eddie Big Head ass into making My Girl Wants to Party All the Time. You know, help Eddie make a song. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, that addiction got the best of him because he was a genius, bro.
Yeah.
He was a genius. Oh, one more. Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix. Oh, my goodness. Just to be in the front row while he doing like just allowing himself to connect with the ethereal will probably be an experience that is like no other.
Yeah.
So I could go on and on because I'm just a music person, but definitely.
I know. Yeah. I remember us being front row. Well, not quite front row. It was like row 0.5 because it was a little person in front of us. But I remember us being front row at the Slick Rick joint.
Yeah, and it's so crazy that from that time, like every time, shout out to Tufts, man. Shout out to Tufts, man. Shout out to G Money, man, because he made that shit happen. Not only did we get to be front row and a half row in front of Slick Rick performing, we got to interview Slick Rick after that, and multiple times he came to DC. I picked him up from the train station, took him to his shows, got to rock out with him at his shows. Here's a fun fact. I picked up Slick Rick and we went to Obama's first inauguration party together.
Damn.
I still got the picture. We was bent too. We was fried. This man leaned his head on my shoulder. Like, we fried.
that shit was crazy. Not only did you get all types of cheeks rubbed against your knees, but then we backstage. Yeah, he got on every piece of jewelry and talking to us about like PTA meetings and going to his kids' school and report cards and shit. Like it was. That was a crazy night. Crazy night. And we was on the strip in B-more. Where all that,
right.
All that nonsense goes down.
Shout out to B-more, my cousins. Dummies. What up, dummies?
I keep having to remind people I'm not from Baltimore, man. I'm not from Baltimore. Just because I'm from Maryland don't make me from Baltimore. But
we're not going to accept that.
On the Rick James, on the, you know, being a master of multiple instruments. If you could master one instrument, which one would it be?
I think the guitar. And the reason why I say the guitar is because the guitar evokes so much emotion for me. Like, one of my favorite songs is Maggot Brain.
Okay.
By P-Funk. And that's that guitar solo, just, it's like you can't help but go off on a wave. It just takes you on a journey. It's like it speaks to you. It's like the guitar is evoking emotion. And like Jimi Hendrix on Machine Gun, the live version from Chicago, and Merman 1983. Like there's the guitar just is like it's connected to their hearts and it's speaking. So if I could master an instrument, it'd definitely be the guitar.
Yeah. I think for me, and I've only realized this in the last couple of years, like it'll probably be the drums, man. Like I listen to music these days and it's like, it's certain songs like I listen to for the drums, like Anderson .Paak.
Right.
Like whenever he's playing drums on anything, it's just crazy. Questlove.
It's an experience.
It's an experience, man. Like, yeah, if I could get that dope, that, you know, to be able to pull off some of that stuff on the drums, I would do it. I got to get my own space so I could really like rock out in here and not annoy my neighbors and shit like that. Cause I would be annoying. So, you know me, once I like something, I want all of all the time. So,
right. But that's like, I would say just get you some electronic drums. Shit, it's funny. One of my man's little brother had wanted some, he didn't want them. We just planned on getting them some. So I surprisingly got him some electronic drums. And we went over there and set them joints up. And I was like, shit. what do you joke? But it was cool.
I know how we do, man. It's an instrument and it's a gadget at the same time.
Right.
Oh, fuck yeah. Man.
Right. And you can change the sounds on the joint.
Right.
I was like, oh, shit.
Still,
I could rock band it. I could go-go it. I could jazz it. Shit.
Yeah, man, I had somebody else on here. I think she's from North Carolina, but she went to school. She went to HBCU, and that was like her experience around people from the DMV. So she was asking me about go-go, and I'm not the biggest, you know, go-go connoisseur. I told her like one of the highlights of my life was doing that open mic back by Mumbo Songs, and that shit was crazy. But if you could get like your top three go-go songs to anybody who was thinking of dipping their toe? What would you go with? The only one I could think of at the time was Titty Ball, because they used to play that at homecoming.
So, in essence, I would say that I would break it down to my top three bands, which are Northeast Groovers, Junkyard, and Backyard. And the thing I say is, if you're going to dip your toe in the go-go, go to a go-go. You have to experience the energy. You have to experience it live and understand why it is what it is, why it's so important to our culture. It's just like juking in Chicago. It's just like house music in Baltimore. it's just like second line and bounce music in New Orleans. Like it's just like all of that, man. It's indigenous. It's for the people. It encapsulates the raw energy of the people, man. Especially the drums. Like I feel like it's a primal thing, and it connects us to our ancestors, honestly.
Yeah. I was still in the house when Go-Go was big. I never had the gumption to attend the Go-Go during the time. I mean, some of them spots, like, you couldn't exactly just go.
Hey, you got to play with a Go-Go band a couple times.
I did.
You play with Mambo Sauce. You got to play with, what was that? One Love?
Yeah.
Twice. A couple times at the Fish Tea and at the John L. Fort Washington.
Yeah, man, we had some epic moments. Like those will always be like my favorite moments in music. Period. Just live music. Like you said, if you want to experience any genre of music, go see it live. A recording is not going to do it justice. You gotta go see it live. All right, one more quick question. This one just for fun. In your opinion, and these don't have to be the actual seven wonders, just what are your seven wonders? But in your opinion, what are the seven wonders of the world? You ain't got to hit seven.
So are we talking about physical, ideological, or like, you know, what are we talking about? Physical locations, physical things, or ideologies, or tangible things, or intangible things, or like... What were we talking about?
Let's go physical locations just to narrow it down.
Seven wonders of the world. Number one is DC. Because it's just like, if you've never been to DC, there's so many. It's like Shrek said, DC is like an onion and it has layers. You know what I'm saying? Because most people think, oh, I'm going to go to Washington. And you think about the politics and the big statues and the monuments and the monolithic buildings and so on and so forth, politicians and foolery. But then when you get past that, you start looking like, damn, as you travel the world to see other cities, first of all, DC is not a dirty ass city like the rest of the city. Like, I'm sorry, New York,
New York, god damn,
garbage. That shit, that shit just, I mean, we all got rats, but y'all.
Them motherfuckers are aggressive.
DC is a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. DC is a beautiful city. Then, like, DC is a melting pot. It's so many people that you would not. Like, you go to a Wizards game or a Commanders game or a Capitals game, you'll see so many people of so many different ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds just shooting the shit, talking, having a good time together. It's really behind, unfortunately, behind closed doors, it's really beautiful camaraderie between people of all different calibers. But you know, like when the cameras are on or when people are with their political whatever's, you know, you get that, those divisions, those lines drawn in the sand. But it's amazing the what goes on here in this city, the culture here. Like, one thing I'm fucked up about is that it seems like DC has forgotten that we were always trendsetters. We were always pushing the envelope. It's like once the internet got big, everybody was trying to be like somebody else, and they don't realize how many people came here to get their swag, that they came here to get their comeuppance, they came here to figure out what they want to do with their lives. Like, DC is a very transient city. Like, to find people like me or you who were born and raised here, it's like people like, wow, you're a unicorn.
Yeah.
But whole time, like back then, we had Georgetown. Like even Biggie said, Miami, DC prefer Versace. We was on that shit. people from New York was coming down here to get their swag. Don't let them tell you no different. The word, like, the U.S. was coming to D.C. to figure out what it is. And we had some of the most beautiful, intelligent, successful women in this area.
Facts.
We just were doing things on a whole different level. So D.C. is number one on my seven wonders of the world. And then all the rest of them don't even matter. I guess the pyramids.
I don't know what my seven wonders of the world are, but I feel like they all somewhere on Lupita Nyong'o's body. Like, I just believe that in my heart. that's where they got to be.
That's not a bad place to start.
I'm still mad that she that. I'm still mad that she is that little bug-eyed mole thing in the Star Wars movies. I just seen like the last one the other day. What was the last one called? The Last Skywalker or the Rise of Skywalker, whatever. But every time I see that little fucked up looking burnt up thing, and then I find out that's Lupita Nyong'o, I'm mad as hell. Like, how you have one of the most beautiful women on the planet in your movie, and she gotta be this little piece of shit. No diss to Lupita, man. You did that. You voice acting is amazing, but
right.
I'm a little hurt.
We don't want to see you looking like a little critter, a little creature.
Exactly, a little critter. That's what it is. Yeah.
Damn.
But man, yeah. Before I let you up out of here, but I know you always got a million things going on, and a lot of them are things that people have access to and can see, and they just don't know it's my brother that's behind the scenes on them. What you got going on right now, and where can the people find you? What should they be looking out for?
Man, so man, you can find me on Instagram. You can see me. I post stuff very sporadically. I've not been indoctrinated completely into social media. I just believe it's we in the beta stage of the matrix. The only thing they got to figure out now is how to implant that shit into our nervous system, so then they can just run wild with us, have us in black boxes. Like, I feel like all of these dystopian fantasy shows about the near future are just a glimpse of how fucked up things can be. Yeah. So I try to stay human and out of the matrix. But I mean, I'm doing a lot of productions. I've done one of my favorite productions that I've done is I was a location manager on the Michael B. Jordan movie, A Journal for Jordan, that was directed by Denzel Washington. And I had the opportunity to work with Denzel Washington, and bro, Denzel, man.
Yeah.
He's the truth. He's the truth. That shit ain't even acting. That's just who he is as a man.
That's what's up.
Like, Denzel, man, he's the truth. But so I'm, you know, I bought myself two Netflix approved cameras. So I'm looking for original content for people that want to reach out and find me. You know, if you got a good idea and we can shoot it, let's shoot it. So I'm looking at starting to produce more and more original content. Looking forward to getting back into production and engineering of music. I still owe the world my album, so I'm gonna work on that this year. Might catch me on the racing circuit. I think I'm going to go get my race car license this year, this summer.
Damn.
I don't know. All the shit that I ever wanted to do is what I'm on.
Yeah.
I'm no holding back. I've been, this year is a year for us to be. This is our Jordan year. This 23, baby. You know what I mean? So I'm pruning people, places, and things, and just sticking to my rounds, my day ones, or my people that's showing love and pouring back into me. And we just going to take it as far as it can go. No holds back, no holds barred, no nothing, like everything. I might go skydiving this year. I don't know.
Skydiving definitely on my list.
I mean, it's like, bro, Devin the dude said it best. You only get one ticket. Might as well enjoy the ride. I'm not about to sit here. The worst thing you can do is get old and decrepit or make it that far in life and be like, damn, I wish I would have X, Y, and Z. Shit. I wish I would have did this when my dick still worked, you know, whatever. Just, you know, it's just like, you don't want to live with them type of, that's to me, that's the worst. That's hell right there. Anything right. else, all right, fuck it. I tried it. I wasn't good at it. Cool. I had the experience of trying it. Fine.
And my man said he about to get his racing license. Like, god damn. Like, no boundaries with you, man. Like, you just, you wake up and decide that's something you want to do, like you said, like, how do you do it? What's the steps? And then you start taking steps, man. And that's, I admire that, bro. I'm learning from you.
I appreciate it. I actually got a car. I got a car built this year. They're actually going to be tuning it tomorrow. They finally finished the construction. It took 2 years, but they just finished the car. So I have it back, and it's supposed to be like supercar level fast. So I'm excited about that. So they got this thing called time attacks where you can take your car to the track and you can, you know, you can get into the circuits like that, or you can go the F1 route with the carts. So we'll see. We'll see what, how it goes. You might see me up there with Lewis Hamilton. You never know. Lewis going to have a problem fucking with me because I can whip anything. Man, you started all the good shit. I whip a caddy. You already know.
I know. Spinning around on ice, landing perfectly in his parking spot, all that kind of shit. Indeed. We done it all.
Right. We done did.
But man, I definitely appreciate you, you know, taking some time out to chill with me, man. Like I said, you know, I'm trying to do this with people so that I can shine a light on the dope folks that I know that's doing dope things, and they doing it, you know, with their family, with their friends, with, you know, with their community in mind. How can they, you know, affect lives? And of all the dope people I can think of, you by far the dopest, my brother. I'm proud to say you my brother. Proud of the, you know, the memories that I have and the things that we were able to do together and accomplish together. And just know that everything you see me doing, you know, from now forward, you know, you got a hand in that, bro. So, you know.
Yeah, shit, I appreciate it, but shit, it's just as important to know game recognized game, dope recognized dope. So, you know, give yourself a pat on the back on that note. I mean, shit, you know, it's funny that we had so many years. We've been rocking since 05, you know what I mean? And it's like we both evolved so much and been through so much and come all out on the other side of so much that I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the future. You know what I mean? It's gonna be some dope shit in the works. And then, like, one thing I didn't touch on that I should have is one of the things you're gonna see me doing is putting a lot of youngins in the mix and giving them the opportunity to shine. You know, because I see it, like, my spirit of discernment hasn't gone anywhere, and I see a lot of youngins that just don't have people like us that's willing to pour into them on tap. So I'm gonna be that guy every chance I get.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, you've always been that guy, man. And yeah, it's one of the many things that I admire about you. But, you know, on that note, I'm gonna get up out of here. Please, people, check out my merch store, whatistws.com/store. Get your merch. I'm designing shirts. I got all kinds of shirts. Chef Elise is helping me put together shirts. All the proceeds are probably going to her. Not no charity, but, you know, directly to taking my daughter to Disneyland or some shit like that. But check out the merch store. Get suited and booted. There's a lot of dope stuff in there. And, you know, thank you for rocking with me this far. Until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, next up is RDG in space. We doing it. And
right.
And I love y'all. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.